Welcome to Gata Jing. I'm your host, Nanny Salas. So, what does it mean to really let go? We hear about it so often. We hear about it in spiritual books, and we hear about it in magazines, and we hear about it on TV, and everywhere we hear about this concept of letting go. Well, when we talk about letting go, what we're really talking about is letting go to God. Who else would we let go to, if you think about it? Would you let go to the mailman? Would you let go to even a parent or a spouse? Would you let go to anything at all? No, what you're really letting go to is God. And this can be one of the most difficult things to do because, after all, you know, God is not tangible. Of course, God is tangible because God is everything. But in that same way, God is not tangible. God is no thing. So how does one let go to no thing? How does one let go to nothing? Well, today we're going to be talking about that. So I want you to consider what it is in your life that may be causing you stress now, because whatever it is that's causing you stress is the very thing that is asking you to let go. And so take a moment and consider your life. Consider where there is tension, and consider where there is stress. Consider where there's lack of peace even. And now consider this invitation to let go and let go to God. And so before I bring my beautiful co-host on, April, today, I'd like you to close your eyes if you're in a safe place and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, imagine that you are breathing in golden, sparkly light. And with every breath, you're breathing in more and more golden light. And that golden light is moving through your body. That golden light is embracing every cell in your body. That golden light is fluid and moving. And everywhere that golden light goes, from head to toe, you realize that you relax and you release. And just go through your body with your mind's eye right now and see where that light is permeating the most. And notice where there might be still some shadows. And wherever there are shadows, just send more light to. So start at the top of your head and notice, is the top of your head completely light and sparkly, or are there shadows? And if there are shadows, then simply send more light. And then move down into your head and your face, and your neck, and your shoulders. Move down through your arms and your hands. And then explore your whole torso with your mind's eye and see if there are any places that need you to send more light to them. And down into your pelvis, and your thighs, and your knees, and your calves, and your feet, and your toes. And take a moment now to still send more light to any places that are not bright and sparkling. And as you do, notice how much you're releasing and how much you're letting go. Notice how the stress is just melting away, and you are becoming one. You are becoming one, one with yourself, one with all. And this idea of separation is dissolving as well. And you let go. And you let go. And so now that you are full of light and love, I would like you to take the thing or things that you're still holding on to in your life that have caused you stress before today and even before you started listening to my voice. I want you to imagine that you can put them in your heart. And once they're in the heart, notice how that sparkly energy just embraces them and permeates them, and notice what happens. And you let go even more, and even more than that. And take one more deep breath. And notice that this light The sparkling light is not just in you, but it is all around you, embracing you, comforting you. And you are safe. You are safe. You are safe. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes or keep them closed, whatever feels most comfortable to you. And just sit back and allow the words that you hear tonight on God or Chi to also permeate you and embrace you and bring you to a higher level of awareness, of consciousness, to a higher level of knowing yourself and knowing God. And it is done, it is done, it is done. Welcome to God or Chi. April, thank you so much for sharing tonight with me and exploring this conversation with our listeners.
Of course, always.
Yeah. And so maybe let me get a little bit closer to the microphone. So we've spent a lot of time talking about letting go.
Right.
Yeah. And so we've talked about letting go, and then we've talked about letting go in relation to God, which really is the only letting go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's the difference to you? Like, what in the past, when you would think of, like, letting go versus, like, what it means to you now in regards to letting go to God?
Well, now I see there is only letting go to God. When you just try to let something go, it seems to always come back, or it's just always in your mind, or mm-hmm. it's just not something that you really are giving to a higher power, to God. It's something that just stays with you. It might be just on the back burner, mm-hmm. is what it feels like when it's just something you're trying to do. When you really let go, it really is just giving it up to this higher energy. It's like it's not even something you think about, or you don't even know how to describe it. It's just mm-hmm. peaceful. It's just, it's not a burden.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when we think we're doing it ourselves, it's a burden.
Right.
Yes. But we've been brought up to believe that we need to do everything ourselves.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
That we do. You know, the expression that we're human beings, not human doings. Well, most people think they're human doings.
That's true.
I'm surprised, you know, Michelangelo or some famous painter didn't do one that's, but it's the human doing.
Yeah. That's right.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think we are so used to just doing everything?
Well, that's my number one thing that I do, is I do instead mm-hmm. of be.
Yeah.
And I think it just, we as humans, we get into this mundane schedule, and I think it's just, we feel like nothing happens unless we make it happen. It's almost like, it's like we begin to believe that it's just us, really, mm-hmm. and nothing's done, you know, outside of us, and it's just us, and we have to make it spin, and we have to do it. And,
right.
And when you step back and then realize, oh, well, I'm not really the one that's really, I mean, I might be the one doing it, but it's almost like it would happen anyways. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know how to quite describe it, but it's almost just like, it, like, works through you.
What works through you? You know I was going to say that.
Yeah. It's, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, like, this feeling of just, like, God, it just works through you. Mm-hmm. It's this connection of, you don't really have to do it.
Right.
It gets done. Mm-hmm. It just makes it so much easier.
Because there's this natural flow.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in this natural flow, and what people have referred to as being in the flow, what we're really doing is we're letting go of, like, the belief that we have to do everything and we're responsible for everything.
Right.
And so once we get in the flow, then truly that what the flow is God, and God does work through us, and the things that we thought we had to do, either they get done or they're really easy and effortless. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like I can think of examples of, like, you know, it's like, oh, I have to get the emails done, or I have to drive the kids to school. Mm-hmm. And if you put all this energy and, like, thought into it, I could do this, mm-hmm. da, da, this, instead of if you were to just do the things that you need to do with it without this heavy thought into it. It's almost like you just get it done. Your life can be so easy.
Are you talking about the story, dropping the story right. about it? I've got to do this, and then I got to do that, and look at this to-do list, and I'm never going to get it done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing is to give your stress and to your burden yeah. to a higher power. I mean, what if we all just started this morning of, okay, talking to God and just saying, I've been having trouble here. I feel like I have to do everything. I feel like I have to be the person to make everything move. And today, I'm going to give it up to you, God. I'm going to, I'll still do, my part, but yes. can you take the stress? Can you take the burden? Mm-hmm. What if we lived our lives like that?
Yeah. Yes. And what if everybody lived their lives like that?
Right.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have the stress. We wouldn't have all the fighting. It feels mm-hmm. like it's a constant fight mm-hmm. within ourselves to get things done.
Yeah, so that's not living. We right. think that that's living because we're accustomed to it, but it's really not living.
Right.
Yeah.
Just think we as people, we just make our lives so hard. And I mean, most of the things, what do we even do to them, if it was our choice,
mm-hmm.
what choice would you make?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can have that choice.
Yeah. I think we have forgotten that we have choice.
Right.
I think that we are most people, if you look around, are so hypnotized that they have forgotten that they have choice.
Right.
Yeah. And it really is about choice. It's like nothing happens until we choose. But choosing doesn't mean that suddenly, it's like we've got to do. Once we choose, then God meets us halfway.
Right.
But, nothing can happen. God, like until we place the order, God doesn't know what we want.
Right.
But once we place the order, then suddenly, then God knows what we want. And then, whatever effort we make on our part, God meets us. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm reminded of this woman on the airplane one day. You know the story. And so I'm on this plane, and this woman is sitting, a few aisles away from me, and she's got rosary beads, and she's praying like mad. I mean, like she is like actively praying, and I could see her. She's all tense and everything, and she did the entire 5-hour flight. And when the plane finally landed safely, she was so relieved, and it was so clear to me and everybody else on the plane that she really believed that she kept the plane in the air. In her mind, she did. And I think that this is what so many of us do, that we think that we're keeping the plane in the air, that if it's not for us, then what we do during the day, that, that life will end or fall apart. When really, when we think about it, I don't know about you, but I know I'm not the one responsible for making the sun come up in the morning.
Right.
Or the tides go in and out, or the air. Now, I wouldn't know how to make like the right mixture of air, but somehow it's made for us. Somehow what we need is there always.
Right.
Yes. Yes. And so I know there's people thinking who are listening to us now, and they're thinking, well, I've had experiences when what I needed wasn't there. Yeah, and you have had experiences. What you needed wasn't there. So, and so have I. But I would love to hear your response to that.
I think the biggest point is when things haven't been there for me. When looking back in the past, I can always find a reason why or something that I couldn't see at the time. Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of an example. Can't think of an example, but I just know in the past, just remembering, wow, I'm being grateful that I didn't know what mm-hmm. I knew back then, because it's helped me in the future in some ways. Like, I think like now, I mean the biggest one I can think of is me trying to do everything. I know, like I said, that's been my biggest thing, and now by having that experience to just be so immense and get so distressed and so burdened. It's just taught me, wow, you know, I don't, things still move, things, because I would, what would happen is I would just break completely down and then I really couldn't do anything, but yet my life was still going. I didn't, like you said, I didn't just stop and die and stop breathing. My life was still going, and I'm grateful for those moments that I didn't have everything that I thought I should have, because it's in those moments that that I really learned. So sometimes we think we know what's best for us, but we really don't.
Right. And there's that letting go piece, that faith piece. Yeah. And I can look back at times in my life where I didn't have, and I can also see that was purposeful, very, very purposeful. And so, you know, one of the examples that I think of is when I was 16, you know, I ran away from home and I lived in a car in the winter for, you know, quite a while. And so, well, I can say, well, where was God then? Where was God when I was freezing in the winter? And now that I look back on it, I can see that it was that experience, because literally that was the experience that I chose. Like there was that was the exact experience that I needed and that I chose.
Right.
And so why did I choose that experience? Well, partly I didn't know any better. And also because it was a reflection of, you know, how I felt about myself at that time and my low self-worth and, you know, what I believed that I was worthy of and a whole slew of other things. You know, we could just psychoanalyze me back then. But truly, it was what I chose. And of course, I, you know, 16 years old and in this horrific experience, I wasn't aware of it. But hindsight, it was absolutely true. And I think, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people who have overcome some pretty challenging things. And many of them also say, you know, they look back and they realize that even with disease and all kinds of different challenges, that it's what they chose. And it's so hard to see that when you're in it. But if you can take a step back and ask yourself, okay, well, how have I chosen this? And there's that sense of ownership and responsibility. And I think that when we take that ownership, that suddenly, you know, we reach a whole new level. And it's at that place. So it's almost like, I've never really thought about this before like this, but in order to let go of something, first you have to take ownership of it.
Absolutely.
Which is, it sounds like a dichotomy. It sounds like it shouldn't be that way, but it really is.
Yes.
But it really is. And so what does that mean, to take ownership? Well, you and I have talked about so many times that ownership means that, yes, that I take complete responsibility for everything in my life and in my existence, that there's nothing that happens that somehow I am not responsible for, because if I'm aware of it in one way or another, that means that somehow it's a reflection of my subconscious mind.
Yes.
And so if something's, you know, really happening to me personal in my life, then yes, that means that I am responsible for it. And until I take ownership of it, until I take responsibility for it, I really can't shift it. So, but here's the key to what we're talking about today, and that is that once I become responsible and I take ownership of it, then I can let it go to God.
Absolutely.
And I think that a lot of people are afraid to take ownership and responsibility because they don't know what to do with it. And that's really interesting, because as soon as you do take ownership and responsibility, then you have the power to let it go. Because if you're not owning it, you can't let it go. What are you letting go? It's something that you can't even grab onto.
Right.
And so I now understand through this conversation that a key to letting go is first taking ownership of it. That's pretty powerful.
That is very powerful. Wow. I haven't thought of it that way either.
Yeah.
But it makes complete sense.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's having this conversation now, it's really, I could feel the shift inside of me with this this new understanding. Because who would have thought that first you have to own something before you let go of it? Of course, it makes total sense now, but they seem so opposite.
Right.
You know, and so maybe that a lot of people have challenges in their life because they've tried to let go of something that they haven't taken responsibility for.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty significant. Yeah. Yeah. And so when we let go and we let go to God, you know, that means really letting go. You know, it's like you can't have a worry and let it go to God and then keep worrying about it, because then you haven't let it go. You know, I hear people, I let it go to God and nothing happened, and look, I'm still in this. Okay, well, then you haven't let it go. You haven't let it go. Letting it go to God, really, it's that faith piece. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the faith that God will handle this. And it's not an inactive faith. It's a very active faith. Because when we let something go to God, truly, like now, we need to be on the alert. Okay, how is God going to handle this for me? You know, what is God going to show me? Or what intuition am I going to receive from God, because that's where intuition comes from, that will lead me down the right path or change the situation. So, you know, letting go, it's not passive. Letting go is really, really active and powerful. And in that way, that's when God gets to do its magic. Because really it is magic. Right? We don't have to understand, you know, how something's going to be solved. And we don't have to understand the ABCs or anything about it in order for a problem or a challenge to resolve itself, but we do need to position ourselves in order for that miracle to happen, and that does mean taking responsibility, taking ownership, letting go, and literally expecting a miracle. And part of what letting go is that I say I don't know how this miracle is going to happen, and really the miracles happen when we let go of the how. Mm-hmm. Because as long as we think it has to be like this, it has to look like that, that can never happen, you know, then nothing's going to happen. But as soon as we let go of the how, that's when the God magic can happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, it just makes me see how life is really just so easy, and just how difficult and hard and challenging we really make it out to be. And you know, I can just hear God in the background just telling
God's
me,
in the background,
yeah, in my head, and just saying, you don't have to have me in the background. Mm-hmm. Mm. And that's why I said he was in the background, because it's almost like he seems so far because I put him so far back there. Mm. Thinking that I have to do everything. Mm-hmm. He says, you don't have to make it hard. Mm. So I and what I saw in my head was, you know, those horse carriages, and you have the person that's mm-hmm. controlling the horses.
Yes.
And me choosing to be in the back and mm. letting God take the reins, because I'm just ready for him to
wow.
to take that place, and for me to in the back and let life be easy.
Yeah. Let life be easy.
Just to have God in the front, not in the back.
God's in the back. So it's like you're driving the bus,
yeah.
and God's in the back.
Yeah. And he was just like a whisper, so he was like way in the back.
He
know?
Wasn't even a horse and buggy. He's like running behind you. God can't keep up with you. That's pretty bad if God can't keep up with you.
Trying yeah. to chase me down.
Yeah. I love that metaphor. That's really so beautiful. So profoundly beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. To let God lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So I remember this this vision that I had in meditation one day, and it was really, you know, letting go to God. And I saw this vision of you know, being on a bicycle, and you know, like little kids go, look mom, no hands. And so, you know, there I was, look God, no hands. Letting God take control.
Right.
Yeah, look God, no hands. And we should make bumper stickers like that. Yes.
Oh,
Yes. Yeah, look, God, no hands. Mm. And again, you know, that doesn't mean that we're passive. It means that we're attentive and we listen.
Right.
And we wait for, you know, God to speak to us, because God is always speaking to us. And this is the thing that it's so easy to forget, that God is always speaking to us. God is speaking us through everyone and everything.
Right.
Everyone and everything God is speaking to. And so this is like, you know, the power of truly being in the now and truly being conscious. Because if we're not in the now, we're not conscious, we're worried about what might happen tomorrow, or we're upset about what happened yesterday, then it's more challenging to hear what God is trying to tell us. And God will speak to us in our minds, and God will speak to us in books that we pick up, and God will speak to us in through the TV. God speaks to me personally through bumper stickers and billboards. God speaks to us through everything. There's no end, but we have to be listening, and we listen with all our senses. We listen with our eyes and you know, our sense of feel and our ears and every sense, and especially our intuition, because this is how God speaks. But we have to learn how to be quiet and shut down our own minds and our own beliefs about how it has to be, or how we have to do something, or even the fact that we need to do something, in order to hear the voice of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, and this is the thing that I have become so present with, and that is that there really is no me. Like this concept of, you know, Nene Salis, that there is no Nene Salis, and that there really is only God dreaming Nene Salis. That there really is only God dreaming, you know, April Kreitzer. And this is how we're all one. You know, we think, oh, we're all one, but how are we all one? No one's asking, well, how is it we're all one? This is how we're all one, that the idea of individual identity and the idea of separation, it doesn't exist, because this is God dreaming. That I am God's dream and you are God's dream, and this is how there is really only one mind. So it's like, you know, when I go to sleep at night and I have dreams, that's my dreams. You know, like, I'm the one creating the dream. So if you're in my dream, I'm dreaming you.
Right?
My children are in my dream. I'm dreaming my children. Whatever I dream, I'm dreaming it. So I'm the dreamer dreaming everything. And so it's, here is God being the dreamer, dreaming you and dreaming me and dreaming everyone. And so to go through life and instead of just, you know, seeing people in conflict with you or friction, it's impossible. That's an illusion, because it's only God. And the most beautiful days I have are when I remember that, and everywhere I look, I'm looking for God. Like, literally looking, oh, there's God. And this truly is, it's life-changing. And the other part of it is when you do look for God, and when you look for God, you will see God. It's so easy to go out in nature and see God, because you're open to it. So when you look for God, you do see God. And when you see God in everyone and everything, suddenly, you know, there's nothing that you really need to hold on to, because you're completely safe, because there's only God.
Right.
And of course, you know, if you're somebody who believes in a punishing God, then, you know, that's not too safe, and that's pretty scary. But I do believe that people are moving away from this idea that God is punishing, and that we are awakening, because you know what's really happening now? God is awakening. Like evolution, like truly, like the evolution and transformation that we're going through individually and collectively and as a planet, what's happening is God is waking up and remembering, you know. And so God's waking up in me, and God's waking up in you, and the conflict and the friction that we feel is really, you know, the personal ego resisting God waking up. Because when God wakes up, that personal self and that ego self, that vanishes, because it can't compete. And so, you know, we look around in this world right now, and we see so many people, and they're really, really, they're struggling. And you know, what is that struggle? Well, the struggle is that God is waking up, and that individual self, or that ego self, is scared. And it should be, because you know what? It's dying. But what it's dying to, the only thing that's dying is the illusion that it ever existed. You know, it would be like, you know, the dream metaphor again. So I have a dream, and, you know, and I think my dream is real, but I'm, like, beginning to wake up, and I'm frightened because that feels like death to me.
Right.
But really, it's the awakening. You know, it's that death is truly the awakening. And this is the most beautiful thing that could ever happen. And so, of course, this relates to letting go. So what we're really letting go of, like when it really comes down to this absolute truth, what we're really letting go of is ourselves. And boy, that's pretty. Pretty wild. Pretty scary. Pretty profound. Pretty beautiful. Pretty incredible. And so the thing that's most scary, and this is really is the thing that's most scary, it's letting go of who we think we are. And once that happens, it's complete freedom. It's complete and absolute freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And so, we're going to do the prayer circle in just a moment.
Okay.
Yes. And so what words of wisdom would you like to leave our Goddardji audience with today?
I think the biggest thing is to know that there's just more than just us out there.
Mm-hmm.
That we are God, and we can't just do everything ourselves as we really think that we mm-hmm. can. And choose to give your worry, your stress up.
Yes.
Make that a choice. Choose to let go and find your freedom.
Mm-hmm. That's very beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing this time with me. It's awesome.
Thank you.
You look so beautiful.
Thanks.
Yes. So, if this is your first time coming to Goddardji, this is the prayer circle, and I want you to think of someone that you would like to pray for, and it could be yourself, and it could be a relative or a friend, or, you know, just somebody that you feel needs a prayer today. And so in your mind's eye, imagine a beautiful golden circle of light and love. And whoever you would like to pray for, just imagine them in that circle, whether it's you, a relative, or friend. You may even put the world in that circle, which we will also put the world in that circle right now. And imagine that there is a beautiful golden light coming down from up above, shining into this circle. And everyone that is in this circle is filled with this light of love and healing. And imagine that everyone in this circle is now returned to health and wellness emotionally and physically and spiritually, and is waking up and remembering who they really are, and they are whole and healed. And you can return to this prayer circle at any time, any day, any way. And if you need some healing, know that this circle is there for you and for everyone else. And it is done, it is done, it is done. And so the thought that I would like to leave you with tonight is truly, you are the God that you have been praying to, and that God is not anywhere else. God is not in the wagon behind you, or not up on a pedestal, and God is not some distant being or thing. God is everything, and if God is everything, that means that God is you and you are God. And so tonight, or today, whenever you are listening to Goddardji, this is your invitation to let God into your heart and into your life, and to not treat God as some distant stranger or, you know, someone who comes every now and again, but that God is truly a presence and God is in you. And I invite you to look inside yourself and find God, because truly this is the only place that you will find God, that God is not outside of you, that God is in you, and that, in fact, God is you, and God is everyone. And so I leave you with our theme song for tonight, Secondhand God. And please listen to the words and take a deep breath and really open your heart and discover who you really are, and that you are love and light, and you are God. You have been listening to God or Jay. I'm Nanice. Please visit me on my website at nanice.com. That's N-A-N-I-C-E.com. Email me. Sign up for the Daily Inspirational, which is channeled several times a week. And while you're there, take the pledge. It will change your life and help bring you closer to God and be the change that you want to see in the world. Until next time, I love you. Have a beautiful night.